produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Thando Nyoni on Uncede on Air. It's always a privilege. It's always an honor to be sharing the word of God together with you. Wherever you are around this world, I greet you in the name of Jesus. Today, I just want us to talk about divorcing the kingdom of darkness. I don't know about you. I'm an African child. I come from an African background, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you have made a covenant with the kingdom of darkness. And at some point, you must divorce that kingdom. Our scripture reading is found on Isaiah 28. We'll be reading from verse 15 to 18. Then we pray, and then we start dissecting the word as the God, as the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit leads us. Let us read Isaiah 28 from verse 15. It reads thus, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Shiloh, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Just listen to this word. Let's continue. Verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Verse 17. Also, I will make justice the measuring line, and righteousness the plumber. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant, this is verse 18, your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is your word. As I share this word, as I explain it, I ask that in the name of Jesus, that you speak through the oracles of my mouth. I speak that heaven comes down. I speak the wisdom of God. I speak the explanation that comes from you. As we learn this word, Father, may you teach us. May you help us to divorce, to annul. May you help us to denounce any darkness, spiritual forces that we have come across in agreement, that we have agreed and covenanted to, whether it was through our forefathers, from our mother's side, from our father's side. Father, we repent from the sin of making covenants with the spirit of the dead and the spirit of the grave. Today and right now, we nullify, we divorce, we ask that the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be our unction, be our Father, be our leader, be our refuge, and be our God. In the name of Jesus, we divorce, we annul, we denounce the kingdom of darkness this time, this hour and we say, Lord Jesus, the foundational cornerstone, the stone that has been tested, the stone, hey, Jesus, that is perfect for human beings, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Hey, Jesus, may you come into our hearts. Make us your daughters and your sons. May we stand by you, the one who conquered the grave. This time, this year, this day, this hour, we receive you, Moyo Ngcwele. We receive you, Lord Jesus. We receive you, Father God. And we say, in you, we have our being. In you, we have our life. Therefore, we surrender our lives to you this day. As the word is shared and as this word is explained, may we divorce. May we disentangle, untangle. May the chains of entanglement, may the chains of being bound and the chains of death be destroyed and untangled. May the chains and the cords of death be annulled. May these chains be broken. May those locks be opened. We divorce, we separate ourselves with the kingdom of darkness. In this day and the day is coming. Jesus, we say to death, you are no longer our God. We no longer have an agreement with you. And we take the full armor of God and we take Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Zalwane, I just needed to delve in prayer, serenade and saturate ourselves in the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus, it speaks of a better covenant. It is through the blood of Jesus that we were saved. And the very blood that saved us when Jesus died, it saves us even today. This scripture that we've just read clearly shows us, Uguti, as the children of God and as a people of the world, sometimes we don't know, Uguti, we are walking in covenants with the spirit of death, not knowing, even if you are born again. Just an example, I had a dream where I was walking with this creature. It was the spirit of death. I understood in my dream that I'm walking along with the spirit of death. And the environment or the scenery, it was dark. It was not during the day, it was dark. For me as an African child, it made me realize that even though I'm born again, even though I call on the name of Jesus, even though I'm blood washed and speaking in tongues, I'm still connected with the spirit of death. So therefore, there should be a divorce that happens and it has to be annulled. We allow ourselves, we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but as time goes, you realize that you are still in bondage because there are things in your life, your gifts are held in bondage, your relationships with your sons and daughters, your family members, your workplace matters, your purpose in life, it can still be held in bondage, especially when you are still in agreement or you are bound by the spirit of death. You may be bound, but still not knowing. It takes the revelation and the spirit of God to show you so that these things can be annulled in prayer and in fasting. Some of these matters, some of these spiritual matters need you to be fasting and you divorce the enemy. So if you are like me, I'm a preacher of the word, I'm a teacher of the word, but often I still find myself struggling with the spirit of the dead or the matters of darkness, whilst born again, whilst tongue talking, whilst spirit filled, whilst experiencing the power of God over my life, but still There are matters that affect me. So the scripture we read today, it clearly tells us that God was not happy with his people, saying that they have made a covenant with the spirit of the dead. You might have not been born by the time where your family members, where your great-great-great fathers, your great-great-great mothers, both from your father's side and your mother's side, had made these covenants. But because you were in their loins, you suffer the consequences. It would take the power of God to reject sin or to make you to annul, to for you to discover and to, with your mouth, you denounce it, you cancel it. Most of us, you can be born again, you can be a preacher, but sometimes you still suffer by encountering the spirit of death. Like I was explaining that I was dreaming of this spirit, then I realized, how come? But then it also means there is a family evil altar that speaks against you. You may be born again, you may be still, but because there's still an altar that has not been destroyed, in our families, especially as Black people, in fact, as human beings, because all people have altars, they have gods that are serving which are not of God. And especially with Black people, I would be, because I'm a Black lady, I will talk about Black people. There would be altars where they slaughter animals, are pleasing their ancestral gods. As they do that, they mention names of family members that are part of those families. And if you are part of that family, by default, your name is mentioned, even if it's not mentioned, for the mere fact that you hold that surname, you are already covenanted with the spirit of the dead. And being a born-again child of God, if you realize that you are not disconnected, you are able to go to God by virtue of being a child of God, by virtue of being born again, and request that your name be removed, and even your family be removed through the blood and the name of Jesus, to officially divorce the enemy. Officially say that I'm divorcing the spirit of death by the blood, by what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Because of the blood of Jesus, the spirit of death is annulled. The spirit of death is no more having power over me. The agreements that were made and taken on my behalf when I was in my forefathers' loins, it's today and forevermore, it's destroyed. So this scripture, it clearly gives you an indication that you have power over any spirit. You have power over any covenants. Because if you remember, when Jesus died on the cross, he said it is finished. And he also mentioned in Corinthians, Jesus Christ mentioned in Corinthians 11 that when we take umthendeleko, the Holy Communion, it's a reminder of his death. It reminds us that his blood was shed so that it's a new covenant is made. A new covenant, that means the blood of Jesus speaks a better covenant than the blood of Abel and the blood of animals. The blood of Abel in the Bible, as you read it in Genesis, it was crying out for vengeance because Cain had killed his brother. But now Jesus Christ had died. His blood speaks of a better covenant because he came so that we may have life and life to its abundance. He was destroying the works of the enemy, which is as we had received him. When we look at the scripture here, when Kulunkulu says here, the God said, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act harshly. We believe in Jesus Christ. We say Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Going back to verse 15, uNkulunkulu lapha was saying, because you have said you have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, you are in agreement when the over... Okay, let me just say this. because people had not known Christ, had not covenanted with Christ as yet, had not known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Most people over this world in generations back, they have made covenants with spirits which camouflaged themselves as gods. But these spirits also had resulting in death, which was an open abomination to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because when you read in Exodus 20, God says, "Ningabi nabanye unkulunkulu ngaphandle kwami," meaning that he's a jealous God. He understood that other gods are just gods of vengeance, are just gods of death. So people had made covenants with spirits of death, thinking, because they say here, you were saying that the scourge will not find us, thinking that these gods will protect them. But it was gods who had lied. The refuge was based on lies. The enemy, or Satan, or the demons can never protect human beings. The devil hates people. He doesn't love people. He hates people who serves him. He hates people who serve Jesus Christ. Basically, he hates a human being. Usatane will never love umuntu. You will never find yourself being loved by the enemy. So therefore, God had made a way out for human beings to serve him through Christ Jesus. That is why he's saying in verse 16 that, "Behold, he lay as a stone in Zion," meaning which Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the great I am. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. He humbled himself and became a human being. He laid his life for people to be able to come to God through him. He was born of a virgin. Being a father, being a God himself, yet Philippians, the Bible tells us that he humbled himself. He became nothing for us to be something. He humbled himself, became a mere man whilst he was a God. So he was tested, he was bruised for our infirmities. He had to die so that we lived in. This shows the kind of love that God is for us. God is love. Because of that love, he had to send Jesus Christ, who was God. He came so that we may have life. So he's the truth, the way, and life. Remember, these deities, these demons, these gods, their foundations are based on lies. So today, we need to divorce, denounce, and separate ourselves from these evil foundations. You may say, "Pastor Tandiwe, how?" Let me show you how I was taught now. As you read this text, you say to Nkulunkulu, "Baba, Baba, we have sinned against you. We are repenting. We are repenting before the throne of grace. We say, Abba, Father. We repent before the throne of grace. We didn't know. We made foundations. We made covenants with the spirit of death. We made foundations, an agreement with Sheol, familiar spirits. We've allowed our children to be part of this. Children are dedicated in these deities every day as they are born. Father, we repent as a nation. We repent as South Africa. We repent as the world. We repent as human beings, as a black child, as a white child, as an Indian child, as an Asian child. We repent before the throne of grace. We apologize, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus, that our salvation be secured. We need salvation. we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And through the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary, we declare and decree that these covenants that were made with the spirit of death, with the grave, with death, with Sheol, are annulled. They don't stand anymore. We agree with the word as you have put it, Lord, in Isaiah 28, verse 18, that your covenant with death will be annulled and your agreement will with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then it will be trampled down by it, meaning that the justice in verse 17, God says that his justice will be the measuring line, his righteousness a plumb, and the water and the hail will overflow the hiding place, and the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. We were light too, also Jesus. We were light by these deities. We were light by the father of lies, the devil himself. Therefore, we repent. We repent before the throne of grace. We ask for forgiveness, Lord. And we ask that the blood of Jesus, which was shed on Calvary, the blood that has no blemish, the blood that is clean, the blood that is holy, to wash us as a human being, as human beings, as black children, as white children, as Indian children, as Asian children, and all nations of this world. May this blood wash us thoroughly. May the hail sweep over the Sheol. May the water wash through these places of death and the hiding places of lies. Father, may your justice, your measuring line, measured, separate us with the kingdom of darkness. Today we divorce the kingdom of darkness. Today we divorce the kingdom of death. Today we divorce Sheol. We have no part over the enemy anymore. We are receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're saying, Jesus Christ, come into our hearts. Make us your children. Be our Lord and our Savior. Therefore, we divorce hell. We divorce death. If you are sick in your body, we ask Jesus, we ask the blood to wash our bodies from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Illnesses that came through because of Sheol, because of the spirit of death. Because one thing about the spirit of death, it never gets tired. It just wants to swallow. It wants to kill us. It's afraid of Jesus Christ, but it never gets tired of swallowing the human being. It never gets tired of killing human beings. So therefore, Lord, we say to you this day, this night, this morning, this afternoon, we say we are divorcing ourselves from this kingdom of darkness. We are divorcing ourselves from the spirit of death. Therefore, we ask your water, which is the blood of Jesus. We ask your fire, which is your consuming fire, to cleanse, to wash us, to remove anything and everything that is not of you in our blood system, in our bodies, in our minds, in the name of Jesus. 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 Father, we thank you for the word that has been written and read to us this morning. For your word doesn't come out without doing any work. We thank you, Lord, for the flushing of death from the bloodline system, our bloodline families, our blood system in our bodies as human beings, as individuals, as families, as community. Thank you, Lord, for this blood that is passing and washing through death, that is cleansing us from the spirit of death and spirit of lies. We thank you for the hailstorm that is destroying every spirit of death that is following us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus, the sure stone, the foundation, the one who is, who was, who is to come, the one who died on the cross for us, the one who is seated in heaven right now, in the right place, right side of the Father, making intercession for us. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who have died for us. So therefore, we have divorced the enemy. We are life in Christ. We have divorced the spirit of death. May it be annulled. May it have no effect on us anymore. May it not stand. We decree and declare in your name, God. And we thank you for hearing our hearts and hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Bazalwane, if you have prayed with us and you are listening to the sound of my voice, but personally, you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Personally, you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I would like to give you an opportunity to do so. Because first, you must know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is the one who is, who was, who is to come. In fact, he has already come. He has already died. Most of us on this earth, during, we say we have those Easter celebrations, Good Friday celebrations, where we say he has died and he has risen. It was because the salvation has come already. He walked on earth. He was killed and he was raised up again by the power of God, because it was time for salvation to be on this earth. Therefore, I ask you and I plead with you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. In fact, if you don't know him, the spirit of death has power over you. Jesus Christ, when he died, he gives us life and life to its abundance. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have an everlasting life." The everlasting life is that even after you have died, it means you are receiving eternal life. Life, not death. And in Deuteronomy it says, "I put before you life and death, choose life." So Jesus Christ is life and he is light and he is the truth. So today I would like to give you an opportunity to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me your daughter. Make me your son. I receive you as my Lord and Savior." Okwakudala kudlulile. Beka okusha. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I divorce death. I divorce Satan and his cohorts. I divorce demons. I divorce the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, I come unto the kingdom of light. I reject sin. I reject death. Therefore, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Say that together with me now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Isho, wherever you are. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come, make me your child. Make me your daughter. Make me your son. I reject the kingdom of darkness. I reject Satan. I divorce death. I divorce the kingdom of darkness. I say, Lord Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. I agree. You died for me. You were raised from death. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I say, be my Lord and my Savior. The resurrection power that raised you from death is raising me today. As I say with my mouth, I believe that you are Lord. I believe that you are my Savior. I believe that you are raised from death. I believe that you are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. I believe, come into my heart. Come. Lord Jesus, say, come. Be my Lord and my Savior. I receive you today. I reject. I have divorced the enemy. May you write my name in the book of life. I now belong unto the kingdom of God. All things have passed away. Now new things are here because salvation has come. I am saved. I am born again. I am your child. Lord Jesus, thank you for being my Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer together with me, then you are born again. It means you are a child of God. You must just be a scholar of the Word of God. You must just find a church in your area that teaches on the Word of God, and the premises are on the Word and speaking the weight in the name of Jesus, not in the name of any other human being, but the name of Jesus, because in that name, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it should and only be the name of Jesus Christ that saves. So if you have made that prayer, please find a church, get a Bible, read the word daily, and also pray to God through the name of Jesus and in the name of Jesus. Let me pray for you. Because when Jesus Christ died and when he left this earth, he said, I am bashiyu nodwa. It means he did not leave us alone, but he left us with the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's three in one. It's a mystery. But then we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus and through the power of God, through which is the Holy Spirit. So let me pray with you and for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every person who has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray and I declare and I decree over their lives that you are Father, you are God, you are holy. And I speak the word of God over their hearts. And I say that let there be light, let there be holiness, let there be the will of God, that all things have passed away. Beggar, Ogusha, newness has come. I pray that they find a church where they teach the word of God through Christ and where Jesus Christ is preached forever. I pray that the Holy Spirit walks with them, stands with them, and teaches them the word daily. I pray that the Holy Spirit saves and protects them and covers them all the days of their lives. I say this in the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bazalwane, in so saying, I need to say God bless you. And thank you for sharing this hour, this moment with you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Amen. Well, greetings to you again from South Africa. This is your Destined for Glory program, where we receive the broken seals of God's revelation and exalting Jesus Christ, whom God exalted and gave the name that is above every other name. My name is Benjamin Kutswani, and we come into you today. We Finding My Way Radio. We continue to proclaim the blessing over every listener of Finding My Way Radio. And we thank God for Kayla Padgett and the team at Finding My Way. We proclaim the blessing of the kingdom power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we go into our program, let's pray together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, believing you and knowing that you have appointed this day as the day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And Father, we come renouncing all familiarity and contempt and praying that let that which you have ordained from before the foundations of the world be made manifest with every life, even as we gather around to receive the broken seals of your word. Father, we pray for every listener right now. We pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We pray that Christ be formed in the heart. We pray that the revelation of salvation be released, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now as we pray for the authorities and those that are in power. For you said in your word, when we pray for them, we shall live of a peaceable life. So we pray for the authorities. We pray for the rulers, the presidents, and the leaders of the nations. For you have ordained the domains of governance, O Father. And therefore, we call forth your goodness. We call forth the seed of your word with which you have created these domains. In the name of Jesus, we call it forth and proclaim your breakthrough blessing in spirit, in soul, in body, in character, and in material. And by faith we receive the manifestation of your glory to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. In the name of Jesus, Father, let your glory break every limitation in every life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, even as we pray, dear listener, we are praying in the faith that God created all things by his word. Right from Genesis 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Note that when it says God created the heavens and the earth, it means God's seed, which is the seed of his word, is in everything that is occupying in the heavens and in the earth. And therefore, we are able now to access a new dimension of prayer. I can assure you, we are entering the final plane of destiny as regards the prayer, even the prayer of intercession. It's going to be joy to pray. It's going to be a refreshing to pray again. You know why? Because it's no longer going to be like we are trying to impregnate anything that we are praying into, but everything that God created, he has impregnated with his seed. The seed of God releases expectancy. Yes, the seed of God releases expectancy. And that's why, therefore, we have been brought to the place where the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19 that all of creation is travailing, is groaning, and is travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we read it, let's begin it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It says here, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, note, which shall be revealed. Which shall be revealed. Now, you must understand, this creation was not only made expectant after the fall of man. No, there was a pure expectancy that was released in creation before the fall. A pure expectancy in that God created the heavens and the earth by his word. And when he called it into being, his word is the seed. And the seed of God releases expectancy in creation, which means God created the heavens and the earth to do what? To bring forth his goodness, to bring forth his glory. Yes, he appointed it unto his glory because he appointed it by his very word. So before the fall of man, God impregnated all of creation with his seed, which is his word. Therefore, we know that all is destined for the glory of God. Even if the fall came, creation was already impregnated by the word of God. And now we know, even from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, that we have been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And I want you to know with me that the incorruptibility of the word of God did not begin only after the fall, neither did it begin after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, the incorruptibility of the word of God began from the beginning. Why? Because even from before the foundations of the world, God predestined us to be blameless and holy. That's Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and 4, we have been predestined to be blameless and holy before the foundations of the world, which means God, in his sovereignty and holiness, he has already prepared everything and predestined everything unto goodness. So creation of the seed of the word of God. And therefore, you and I are called, therefore, to expect from God to bring forth. So why do I say to you, prayer is going to be an exciting thing? It is because now our prayers of intercession is about to be turned into the harvesting tool wherein we are now going to harvest the fruit of the seed of God. Yes, when we pray, it is no longer going to be our effort, our might and power. I was saying to others, there is the movie called The War Room. I have not yet seen the movie, but I know and understand that it speaks about the prayer, even the prayer of intercession and warfare. But I want you to understand, the flip side of the war room is the birth room. Yes, the birthing room, the room that gives life, which means when we speak about the war room, it's not going to be in a sense where our carnal self will feel that I have made war and I have waged war. No, it's going to be with the flip side of the bathroom, where it is now a refreshing of knowing that life is coming forth. Why? Because everything God spoke into, He spoke life into it. He spoke life into creation. So when we follow it through, we can go to Psalms chapter 19. In the book of Psalms chapter 19, therefore, we read that all the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament, they speak forth His word. They utter His word. Which word is the heavens and the firmament uttering? They are uttering the word with which they have been impregnated. When God created everything, He put His word in it. All right? And then we go to Psalm 24 again. In Psalm 24, He says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, which means that God has established again the earth and the fullness thereof, the world and those that be therein. He has established it by His word. Now today, I want you to appreciate in your spirit that this word is not just an ordinary word. It is the seed of God. It is the life-giving seed of God. It is the birthing seed of God. It is the fruitful seed of God. And because it is the fruitful seed of God, our prayers of intercession are about to be raised as the intercessory harvesting tool. No more like it is our might and power. No more like we need to die again as we pray. No, He has already died, and He who died is already interceding for us. And guess what? Jesus makes intercession for us at the right hand side of the Father. Why is He doing that? Because in us is the seed of God. So Jesus is putting in the sickle of the harvesting through His prayer of intercession. He is expecting to harvest what the Father sowed in us. What is it that the Father sowed in us? 1 Peter 1:23, we are born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which means the reason why Jesus is interceding for the church, it is because the church has been impregnated. The church has been made to be the expectant place where heaven can expect joy. Hallelujah. Heaven expects joy out of us. Heaven expects breakthrough out of us. That's why, therefore, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, we have the mystery of salvation to this intent, that to the principalities and powers and to the angelic realm, that there may be revealed the manifold wisdom of God by the church. Yes. Jesus interceding is expectant. The heaven is expectant. The angelic realms, the heavenly host is expectant of what? Of the manifold wisdom of God to be revealed, underlined, by the church. Which means the church is the impregnated place with the seed of the word of God, so that out of the church, Jesus can harvest this manifold wisdom. God, even unto the angelic and the powers in the realms of the heavenly host. Hallelujah. This is awesome. This says to us, it is not time to give up in prayer. Let's go on as we read Romans chapter 8. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Why is this word coming forth? This word is coming forth to say, remember verse 1 of Romans 8, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, it means in us, we don't have to give in to condemnation. Why? Because whatever we go through in this present time is not worth, it's not worth it to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So don't give up, my brother. Don't give up, my sister. I don't know what you might be going through in this moment, but I know these are testing times. These are stormy times. Remember where we ended up, even as we shared in time past, that this is the time not to see what you see, but it is a time to see what he says. When you look at the storms that you are going through, don't see what you see, but see what he says. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples in the boat and the storms arose. When the storms arose, they got confused because Jesus was resting at the bottom of the boat. And when they called upon him, he came and silenced the storm. But note that they were even filled with stormy thoughts. Why? Because they saw what they saw instead of seeing what he said. Because when the journey began, Jesus had said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now that's the word that they were supposed to see. But instead of seeing what he says, they saw what their eyes saw. And when they saw what their eyes saw, they saw the storms. And even their thinking, even their belief, even their minds became like the storm. How so? Remember the words that they said to him. They said to Jesus, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we're about to die in the storms? Now, they are talking to life himself. They are talking to the man who organized the cruise, the man who said, let us cross over to the other side. And they are complaining to him with the mind filled with what their eyes is seeing. And I hear in this season where God is saying, don't see what you see, but see what God says. Yes, don't see what you see. See what God says. Why? Because we are not called to walk by sight. What you allow to come in through your eyes can easily corrupt and cause a storm in your faith, a contamination of your faith through the storm, to the point that you can even turn against God and turn against your Savior and look at him and say that he does not care. Now, there is no carelessness about God. There can never be any carelessness about Jesus. But what was causing them to do that is because they chose to see what they see instead of seeing what he said. And guess what? When he rose up, he did not even see the storm. He spoke the word again and said, peace, be still. And they continued to wonder as to what manner of man is this, that even the seas obey. This is where God is calling us to. That we know that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Yes, this is the transfiguration moment of our prayer. This is where God is bringing us to a place of being transfigured in our prayer, where we know that we are no longer just praying with might and power, but no, we are harvesting that which has been impregnated by the seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is the fruitful seed, is the incorruptible seed that cannot return unto him void. Remember, in Isaiah chapter 55, and he says, the word of God will never return unto him void without accomplishing that which he has purpose. He says, as rain comes to the ground and never goes up, his word comes through and accomplishes its purpose. And therefore, we know that the word of God is a purposeful, fruitful seed into everything that he sends it into. So now, our prayers are called to change where we say, bring forth the harvest of God. Bring forth that which God has impregnated you with. We speak to everything in the earth and we command it to bring forth. Why? Because whatever we go through cannot be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In verse 19, then he says, this is the one we open up with. He says, for the earth, the earnest expectation, there it is. Why expectation? Because the word of God is the impregnating seed that brings forth or that stirs up expectancy and that says it's not over until God's word brings forth fruit. Yes, you heard it today. It's not over until the seed of God's word brings forth fruit. Why? Because the devil might be saying to you and I, give up now. But God is saying, no, I have written in my word, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed, time, and harvest. Oh, yes, seed, time, and harvest. God spoke the word in the beginning. That word is the seed. Now we are in the time, which means that this is a time of expectancy. This is the time of expectation. This is the time of long suffering. This is the time of waiting on God. And if that is the time, it is the time of waiting on God. How do we wait on God? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this is the time of giving God his pleasure by believing him. Why? That the seed was there and time will be filled up with what? With my faith that chooses to please God. I choose to believe God. I choose to believe his word. I choose to believe his seed. I choose to believe that his seed, he will not be aborted. I choose to believe that his seed is incorruptible seed and it shall bring forth what often had conceived when the seed was released. So the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's right. Why? Because the sons of God are the carriers of the ultimate glory that has to bring and fulfill the hope of all creation. Listen to what it says so that we'll understand it. It says, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. God subjected all of creation in hope. Why hope? Because in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he gave man his glory. He allowed man, Adam, his glory. So Adam was the carrier of God's glory. So when the fall came, all of creation was looking up to the glory of God that was in the first son or the first Adam. And when it looked unto him, it saw the glory of God because God created him and gave him dominion and said, all of these things, look up to this. This is my image. This is my likeness. And in Adam was the glory of God. So when man fell, it's like the glory of God went down on the Son of Man. And that's why creation is being promised right now by the word of God that it is eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. How will the sons of God be manifested? It is time that you and I know that the sons of God shall be manifested as those that are born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. What is the seed of the word of God whereby we have to be born again? This is the seed. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word is Jesus Christ, who has become the ultimate seed of God, that has come to restore the glory of God, that has come for the revealing of the glory of God through all those that will receive Him. For the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received Him, even as believed on His name, He gave them the right to be called the sons of God, or the children of God. And He goes on to say, they are not born of the will of man, but they are born of the power or the will of God. And therefore God is saying to you and I, you are the carrier of God's glory that all of creation is awaiting and is expectant of. Why? Because God has impregnated everything in creation by His Word. So your prayer right now, I speak the refreshing in your prayer as a child of God, and I speak the revelation of the true Christ to you who have not yet received Jesus, that know that this is all about Jesus Christ. And as a child of God, arise knowing that it's your time to manifest the glory of the Father, and your prayer now, receive the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, glorifying Jesus as a sickle of harvest, going into everything that God has impregnated with His Word. We shall pray for the rulers. Why? Because it is God who impregnated the domain of rulership with His Word. We shall pray even for our bodies. Why? Because it is God who has appointed for us to be the temples of the Holy Spirit. So we pray knowing that everything is having the Word of God impregnating it. So our prayer is more of the harvest of God right now. So receive it for your life. Stand in the faith. Stretch out the sickle of intercession. Bring in the harvest in the name of Jesus. There is harvest for your body. There is harvest for your spirit and your soul. There is harvest for your material possession. There is harvest for your relationship. And it is all because of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God richly bless you as you continue knowing that it's time to keep expectant and putting in the sickle of prayer to harvest the goodness of the Lord, because we are born again to come into the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, receive it. You are appointed unto goodness. Breakthrough is yours through His incorruptible seed of the Word. God will bless you until we meet again in destined for glory. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Kingdom blessings around the world. Greetings, Shalom. I bring you greetings of peace and joy in our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. This is The Real Dr. Rich. Welcome to Candid Conversations. It's been a long time. Let me just take a brief moment to pray and to say a very special thank you to CEO Kayla Finding My Way Padgett. Thank you so much, you and your staff, and greetings around the world. Father Yahuwah, thank you for this day that you have made. I am rejoicing and I'm glad in it. Thank you, Father, for your tender grace and your sweet mercies. Your favor follows me, Father, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach and minister the gospel, Father, according to your divine will. I thank you also, Father, for the many people, the many lives that Finding My Way Radio has touched, not only through candid conversations, but through various broadcasts, Father, by your sons and your daughters. I plead the blood of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, over those who listen, Father, and not only those, but those who are attached divinely through their kingdom acceptance of your Son, who is the propitiation for our sins. I thank you, Father, for the angels whom we have dispatched, because you have given us authority to dispatch angels, Father, to not only do war on our behalf, but to minister to those who are lost, Father, in this world. Those may be family members by blood, Father, or kingdom members who have yet to accept your Son. We say thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the liberty to minister your truth, for you are truth, Father. You are the only truth that we truly know, Father. You, Father, are truth. So we thank you again for the Finding My Way team. Thank you so much. In Yeshua's name we pray. Okay, so we're in a new month. This is the month of October, and I'm so thankful because the number 10 represents so much. And the first thing that I want to tackle today on Candid Conversations, because no topic is taboo, it is, yes, I'm going to have to put it out here, is our obedience and our thoughts concerning the Ten Commandments. Yes. The Ten Commandments. Although we are now under grace and truth, which many denominations preach. Many denominations, and let me say this, let me do a disclaimer. It is not that Yeshua himself came for denominations. No, he came for the kingdom of his Father, to set the kingdom in order here in earth. The kingdom, that is our prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not about us and what we deem is right or wrong, but it's about setting his kingdom in order. And it starts first with ourselves. It begins with us. As you can remember, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, it was the Apostle Paul, and I'm laughing because I love the Apostle Paul, but it was the Apostle Paul who spoke these words: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah God. Yes, listen, Yahuwah God, we're calling him by his name, Yahuwah. And this is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't let me calling him Yahuwah mess you up. I am telling you right now that when I say Yahuwah, it's almost like us being in a room, and if you're a parent, a child saying mom or dad, and you know, you may know your child's voice, but if the room is noisy, it's better, you know, sometimes to specify, use with specificity, that particular parent's name. And so I want to call him Yahuwah. Some of us choose to call him Elohim, and that's great. I just don't like to just use a general terminology saying God, because he means so much to me. He is my Father. He's my personal Father. He is my creator. He fashioned me. He knew me before I was fashioned in my mother's womb. But again, Paul says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahuwah God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. While you're living, present your body as a sacrifice. Do that which is pleasing to him. It's not about man, because if we please him, then yes, there will be people who are pleased, and people who will recognize our testimonies, people who will accept our testimonies as untainted. Of course, we all have passed, but what I'm referring more so to is us being able to practice and to live what we're actually saying with our mouths. So Paul goes on to say, a living sacrifice, holy. Yeah, there's that word, holy. And you and I both know the definition, even if we don't know it verbatim, we know what holy means. And we can only be made right through Yeshua, our Savior. So holy or holiness refers to dedicated, consecrated to Yahuwah God, or a religious purpose. It's sacred. And by holy, let me put a sticky note right here. I want to encourage us. This is not a moment of judgment more than it is a moment of encouragement or exhortation. I want us to remember that we can't always look at other quote-unquote Christians or believers to set the tone for our actions and our behaviors. We alone are responsible for our own actions and our own decisions, the way that we live. And we find the way that we should live in His Word. And so, you know, when it comes down to holiness, don't allow someone else to define what holiness is. You know what dedicated or consecrated to Yahuwah God or religious purpose, meaning sacred, means. We know it's hallowed, it's sanctified, divine, you know, blessed, dedicated. And just because other Christians or believers find it okay to defile the temple. And I'm going to get a little touchy right here, but, you know, this is a new month, and He's loaded us with new benefits, new mercies in this new day, this new month, this new season. We're in a new season, people. We have 3 months, according to His will. If it be His will, we have 3 months. But if we don't have those 3 months, if it's not allotted to us, we have today, right now, to take His word seriously, to get things right, to be made righteous, to be brought back in right standing through Yeshua, HaMashiach. So holiness, let's see. Paul says a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yahuwah. So not only do we need to strive to read the word and to conduct ourselves accordingly. Listen, I understand that sin touches us all. However, His word touches us as well. His word is what changes us. His word is life. His word transforms us. His word gets our minds redirected when we're unfocused or distracted. Listen, let me tell you this. I understand. I'm not preaching as though, like Paul also said, as though I've already arrived. I am a work in progress. The one thing that I don't do, I don't offer excuses. I seek my Yahuwah, my Father, for forgiveness. I am accountable for my own actions. And when Paul admonishes us to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto Yahuwah, meaning, you know, the world may accept it, but does Yahuwah God accept it? And I'm going to get a little touchy because I'm going to tell you, I've seen some of us be so worried and so bogged down with the cares of this world that drinking is a vice to calm us down, smoking, shopping, overeating, all of these things become more beneficial in the moment of trying to find peace than does the word, than does His power. Because with man, things may be impossible, but with Him, all things are possible. And please know, I do understand heaviness. I do understand being weighed down in your spirit. I do understand that when the trials of life come up against us, I do understand that life hacks happen, and you know, sometimes we're at our wit's end. It can be because of marital issues. It can come about through our children. It can come about through our jobs or our careers or just feeling inadequate. But I want to admonish you today to know that He is our answer. Everything that we need, every issue that we may experience is recorded in the Word, and we have history. to also, to actually corroborate the word. Yes, we do. History, facts, to, you know, demonstrate these truths. And I want to tell you, I don't offer excuses. You know, that's a way that we show our vulnerability. We don't want to be honest with ourselves. We don't want to be responsible or accountable for the decisions and the choices that we've made. But I want to tell you that Paul had something going special when he said, which is our reasonable service, meaning this is the least that we can do. This is what we should do. I mean, he's saying it's not much. This is the foundation. This is the bare minimum. This is the lowest form that we can go. And what we're saying is, what Paul was saying is, do this, you know. And he goes on and uses a conjunction and says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world. Yes, and let's not look at the world as only being worldly people or people who have yet to accept Yeshua HaMashiach, because there are some worldly, quote-unquote, Christians. There are some carnal, quote-unquote, Christians who believe it's okay to, and listen, again, I am not trying to judge, but this is candid conversations where no topic is taboo. So let's discuss it. Let's discuss why we want to be okay with calling on his name and praising him and saying how good he is to us while yet trusting in our flesh, because there's no good thing in the flesh. Paul also said that. He said when he would do good, evil is present, and that he would do, he does it not. I'm not quoting verbatim, but I'm going to tell you this. That was not an excuse. Paul is just showing us, allowing us to see his transparency. He wants you to know that, yes, he's a great man after Yahuwah, God, after his conversion on the Damascus Road. Yes, he preached the word. Yes, he brought many in to the kingdom. However, he's saying that on his best day, his flesh tends to rise up. And that's similar to some of us. However, he's also admonishing us not to be conformed to this world or this world's ideologies, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to renew our minds. Listen, with social media, with all that's on television and radio and what we're seeing in the world, even if we don't watch television, it's enough to contaminate us. So, yes, we have to be mindful that it's a great opportunity to go into our prayer room. Sometimes we're just so tired. We're just so overwhelmed with the cares of this world, with family life, with work life, with our various organizations and, you know, community activism and all of these things. But it's imperative that we renew our minds. And the only way we can renew our minds is in his word. It's in his word. We have to open his word. We have to allow the word to not only encourage us, but to bring correction and conviction. I didn't say condemnation. I said correction and conviction. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm telling you. Paul also says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahuwah. See, there's a perfect will, I believe, and there's a permissive will. Yes, it's always ideal for the believer to be in Yahuwah God's perfect will. And we cannot be in his perfect will if we're not in his word. In his word, where we find truth, where we find life, where we find correction, where we find what we need to make it throughout the day. Yes, I'm telling you, Paul hit something on the head when he said that. And as I began my candid conversations today with you, I began with the reference to the number 10 and what that means biblically. And it means completion. Yes, it means perfection and completion. So I wanted to discuss, as I mentioned, the Ten Commandments, although we all are presently under grace. Yes, we are. And so many denominations make sure that we push and promote that. But today on Candid Conversations, not only am I pushing grace, because his grace definitely goes before us. Yes, yes. And his favor follows us. And I thank you, Yahuwah. However, let me read just a few. Let me remind you of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, Yahuwah. So that's the first commandment. And then, he goes to say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yes. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord Yahuwah God in vain. Yes. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Yes, I want to expound on that a little bit more in another candid conversation, but please note that Dr. Rich is absolutely excited about the Sabbath, about taking that day specifically to meditate more intentionally. Yes, I worship on every day. 7 days I take to worship him because he allows me to see that particular day. Yes, I take time to pray early in the morning, where I used to have a challenge, you know, rising, because I would go to bed so late, like 1 and 2, and it would be a challenge to get up at 5:15 to be in the prayer, but I committed to that thing. I said to Yahuwah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I would rise early and allow him to set my day, because you know what? He's that kind of good Yahuwah God. He doesn't force himself on me. He sends reminders. He's the best reminder. Yes, he is. And so I've had to be more intentional. And that Sabbath day, just taking that day to not be in a rush to do all of these things that I used to do. I actually am in a peaceful state on the Sabbath. And that Sabbath day, to me, as you listen around the world, is Saturday. That's the day that I have reconditioned my mind, and in no way am I going to be dogmatic in my approach with you with that, but just think on it and meditate. It's good for me not to be in the salon or in the shopping centers or doing some other things that takes up a lot of my time, but to actually set that time aside to intentionally praise him, to worship him, to study his word more intricately and more intimately. Yes. So, I love that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And this is not just Old Testament. That particular commandment is also found in New Testament. There's reference to that by our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. And I may say Hamashiach or Hamashiach, just depends on how I feel, but please know that there's this tomato and tomato. Thank you again. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. And for a lot of us, that may be challenging, not because we're reprobate, not because we're sinners or because we're carnal Christians, but just because our parents want to take the place of Yahuwah God. Listen, that is a very sensitive subject for me as a parent and as a daughter. It is wise to those of us who will allow Yahuwah to give us wisdom, to give us wisdom. It is wise for us to understand, to comprehend fully that there is danger in usurping or attempting to usurp Yahuwah's authority and his role in our children's lives. It was Satan who first attempted to usurp Yahuwah's authority. That's one reason. That is the main reason he was forced out and kicked out, if I may use that terminology. He was kicked out of the heavens as the primary worshiper, the lead Lucifer. Yes, he was the lead praise and worship angel, and because he attempted to do that. But I'm going to tell you, there is a way, and there are ways for us to continue to honor our father and our fathers and our mothers, our earthly fathers and mothers. as kingdom people, as kingdom sons and daughters. There's a way that we can respect and honor them in love as we perfect our love walk. Those who, you know, may be addicted to drugs, those who may have been pedophiles, those who maybe have been blasphemers or haters of the kingdom and our Heavenly Father. So, yes, there's still this is still good. Let me tell you, it does us good not to try to dismiss the Ten Commandments. Let's continue to honor our fathers and our mothers. Thou shalt not kill. You know, there are laws in this land to deal with those of us who. So are you following me? You know, many of us say we can dismiss this, or Yeshua came and fulfilled the law. And okay, let's say he did, but when you're disobeying the laws of the land and you kill someone, what is your consequence? What are your consequences? So it would behoove us to still implore these, to still apply these and implement them into our daily lives. Let's not kill, even with our tongues, kingdom brothers and sisters. Let's not kill others and assassinate them with the anger of our tongues because they've hurt us in some way. Let's not speak evil of them. Let's pray for them. You know, it's one thing to attack a person physically, but when we attack them verbally as believers, what does that say about our Father? What, more specifically, what does that say about you while you're wearing his name? Okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yes, don't commit adultery. That is someone's husband. That is someone's wife. Those are someone's spouses. So, you know, continue to apply this to number 10. Thou shalt not steal. Again, there are laws in the land. If you're caught stealing, there are going to be consequences. There are penalties to pay. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Oh, that is a huge one. So many of us covet what our kingdom brothers, kingdom sisters, and even worldly individuals have possessed, whether that's a big, nice home, the finest of vehicles, beautiful children, beautiful faces, hair, lips, bodies, physiques, figures, whatever it is, we shouldn't covet. And I'm going to give you a special tip for all of these once I finish them. Thou shalt not covet. Yes. I fed them, and I'm excited about this. So let me give you this tip. The way that we can implement these without thinking too hard about it, or without it being such a chore, is to just basically, this is the prompt, just basically develop our relationship with Yeshua. I'm telling you, he would lead us. He will guide us in the form of the Holy Spirit. When we're going astray, when we're becoming too distracted, he'll speak to us. He'll allow us to be. Listen, he'll allow us to feel a little uncomfortable in our actions and in our words. He will cause us to acknowledge and to become accountable for what we say, what we think. Yes, even what we think and what we do. I am so excited, so thankful that you joined me on this Candid Conversations. Remember, Candid Conversations, where no topic is taboo. I'm excited about you. I want to say a prayer. Father, thank you for the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of your word. We thank you for CEO Kayla Padgett, her entire staff, and all of our kingdom brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you for the sponsors, Father, especially Ewing Moving and Storage. Congratulations on what Yahuwah has done in enlarging your territory here in the earth. Until next time, I ask that you would listen to Ministry Moments with Apostle Cedric and Dr. Cedanice Richardson every other Saturday, and Story Time with Princess Leah Camille every other Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Kingdom blessings around the world. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.